Today, I am sitting with my friend and colleague, Lily Olson, who is a clarinet performance major at the Chicago College of Performing Arts. Lily and I met this past summer in Philadelphia for a music festival and have talked about this week's author, Tolstoy, ever since. It's cold outside, but nevertheless, it's the kind of weather where you can't help but open the window and let the breeze through. Hello and welcome back to Diddy and Hawthorne in the In-Between. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to my podcast about the relevancy of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book and let's begin. Hello, Lily. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we're going to start with initial thoughts on Tolstoy. So what comes to your mind when someone is like, Tolstoy?
I actually think of a dare my English teacher gave me, because the reason I started with Tolstoy was my English teacher over, the summer before sophomore year, was like, I dare you to read War and Peace, because I was a big reader, and I was always reading books ahead of the class, and then, like, reading in class, but not the book we were supposed to.
Right.
And she was like, do that over summer for your summer reading. She's like, I dare you. I will buy you something if you do it. And I was, like, adventurous, and also just needs to prove the world wrong, because that's my life. So I did it, and I, like, read it over a summer, like, the entire book.
I mean, I don't have a story that dramatic.
But I'm sorry.
You've ousted me in the first minute of the show.
That's a goal.
Yeah, the first time I read a book by Tolstoy was actually Anna Karenina. And it was senior year was wrapping up, so it was that point where you're waiting to get out, but you're not graduated yet, so yes. You have no credibility whatsoever in the world. but then again, you're insanely bored, so
yes.
There's this kind of dichotomy of, like, what do I do, but then, like, should I be doing something else? And so I picked up a friend, and I was like, read Anna Karenina with me,
yes.
Please. And hopefully we'll have an episode on Anna Karenina. I have no idea. We were talking about this before the show, but on Twitter, I basically only tweet about movies. And I swear, I do tweet about new releases. So if you want to follow my Twitter, @DDNN, it's the show's Twitter. It's great. All new episodes and everything. But I was like, About Time is one of the best movies of all time, okay? I've only cried during two movies in my entire life, About Time and Dunkirk. So,
ooh,
yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, so, and it's one of those things where it's like, my friend invited me to see a movie tonight, and I just can't go, because I can't, the
you're
whole
shook.
Week is like,
you're just shook.
I know, like,
that's how I kind of felt about, what was the Stephen Hawking movie that was like,
A Theory of Everything?
Yeah. I just watched it because I'm, like, basically in 2015 and watching my movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hate movie theaters. That's a totally another, it's like, another topic. But that made me cry. And I kind of felt dumb because I was like, I shouldn't be crying, but I did, so.
Exactly.
It happened.
All right, so Tolstoy. I don't really have anything that comes to my mind, like, any knee-jerk reactions when it comes to Tolstoy. But, I don't know, it's kind of like, you're talking about your agenda. Like, everyone should read Tolstoy. That's my agenda, too.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's never in this world will you find something so comprehensively beautiful.
Yes. Oh my god. I could not stop talking about Tolstoy. Like, my friends got so annoyed with me, I think, my sophomore year, when I was just like, read Tolstoy. Read it. Do it. Do it.
Exactly.
That was, like, my total knee-jerk reaction. I don't know. There's something so beautiful about Russian literature in general, but I think especially Tolstoy, that is just, like, so real. It's, like, presented in a good format.
I've read the most Dostoevsky. I think that of all the Russian classicists, that's, like, the one that I know the best. He'll have characters that you can relate to on a superficial level, but not on a very intrinsic level. And with Tolstoy, he takes people from all walks of life and in all parts of society and gives them each a very unique voice.
I would say the difference, especially between those two, is that, like, even in a Tolstoy's darkest moment, there is still some light a little bit. I think there's some positivity in that.
Exactly.
Versus, I think, if you look at Dostoevsky, and he's just like, people is dead. It's dark. It's really sad. There is no light. Whatever, whatever. And, like, there are definitely portions where Dostoevsky is like, there is light in the world, and there is this, and there is this, but not in the dark moments, whereas I think Tolstoy, in his dark moments, still says, there's some good here.
Yeah, yeah. And or the other thing that Dostoevsky does is he'll go back and, like, totally, like, trash everything. Like, for example, in the end of Crime and Punishment, oh, right? Yes. Okay, we will not spoil that for you. But their epilogue completely ruins the entire novel. Yes! That is why The Brothers Karamazov is probably the better novel. Oh, like,
no, that is the best. I can't remember which one I read first. I think I read Brothers K first. I thought that was better than Crime and Punishment. Although I thought Crime and Punishment was real.
All right, shall we get into history?
Yes.
So, Tolstoy was born on August 28th, 1828, and there isn't actually much on his early childhood. Like, I tried to research it to no avail. Literally, there is not a website. He was born in,
like, a richer family in Russia, too, which is important to note.
It makes sense. Like, clearly he has a lot of background in terms of history, and he uses a lot of mythology in his writing. And so he wrote War and Peace in the 1860s, and I have a quote from Britannica for you all. Quote, "Most readers will agree with the assessment of the 19th century British poet and critic Matthew Arnold that a novel by Tolstoy is not a work of art but a piece of life. The Russian author Isaac Babel commented that if the world could write by itself, it would write like Tolstoy." And so Tolstoy became an increasingly moral writer in this late 1800s period, and he wanted to comment on ideas like truth, justice, evil, and pain.
Yes. And actually, real interesting thing about his end of his life was that he went a little crazy. Like, his family thought he went crazy, and he rejected his, like, riches and, like, died a pauper, kind of. He was just like, I'm not dealing with this. I don't believe that I should have this. Totally ran off at, like, age 80, and was like, I'm gonna be a pauper on the streets! And his family was like, no, you're not. And so then they, like, brought him home and was like, you're gonna die. Well, like, they, like, declared that he was gonna die. He was dying. The man was 80 years old and was, like, sickly and a little crazy. And he did end up dying, like, at home, but he was also, like, had kind of rejected that. I think that was always an interesting... He always, like, went on his principles, no matter what. I think you can kind of see that in the books as well, that there are a lot of...
Exactly.
Like, he always is about principle and about going by one's principles. Mm-hmm. I think you see that a lot in War and Peace.
Mm-hmm. And in a book like Anna Karenina, there's a character, Levin, that he idealizes so much. And Levin is this rich person who is also a farmer, and Levin rejects his riches in very similar ways. And then, last bit of info, Tolstoy died on November 7th, 1910, very sadly. Almost more than 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Spooky.
Question one. What is your favorite work by Tolstoy, and what is your favorite thing about his writing? This goes, like, short stories and everything.
Okay. All right. Favorite work is going to be War and Peace. Mostly because I think, and this is how I convince all my friends to read it, you have a love story. Okay, you have multiple love stories. But you have, like, the love story aspect. You have just, like, an actual war going on. Like, it's about the War of 1812. Mm-hmm. Napoleon speaks in the book. Like, come on. Like, that is, like, so freaking cool. Like, I freaked out. Like, I had, like, a fangirl moment when I was like, Napoleon is speaking in the book! And, like, that's because of the nerd I am and because I'm, like, a real history buff as well. Mm-hmm. But, so you have, like, an actual war. So you have, like, that kind of, like, underlying politic of that kind of thing. You also have people, like, struggling, like, with moral issues, and I think the best part of the book is that, like, all of these, like, separate, you kind of have, like, separate modules of stories or in characters interweaving, and they're all, like, connected through, like, a cousin or, like, a weird, like, somehow they are connected, and it's weird, like, and usually by a family member, like, a close friend, and they all end up together, like, kind of at the end, which I think is so...
That is really
cool. A lot of Russian writers do that, but I think Tolstoy does it, like, the best.
Yeah.
Like, oofed.
So that's your favorite thing about his writing?
That's like...
He's able to take all these narratives and join them together.
That, and the fact that, like, he shows a lot of truth in his writing. Like, when reading Family Happiness, which was one of the short stories, you know, it kind of screwed me up for, like, a week, because the conclusion to it is that, you know, love changes. The type of love you have for a person changes, and I was like, that's so... weird and, like, kind of sad, because, like, looking ahead, it's like you can have, like, a profound true soulmate type of love for someone, and that can change because of decisions that you make for yourself. That's kind of interesting, but kind of Tolstoy ends it on such a positive note, like, where it's a little sad, like, it ends a little sad where you're like, oh, they don't love each other in the same way, and we, like, I liked this relationship,
right?
But they're also, like, content with that change.
Okay, my favorite book is probably Anna Karenina. I'm at more of a disadvantage, I'd say, though, because I haven't read as much Tolstoy. Like, for example, I have not read War and Peace. No. That is the conspiracy of the ages. You'd think that I would have gotten to it by now, but no.
That's me on, like, a lot of books, though.
Yeah, true. And I read excerpts from a lot of his books, but, of course, the real novels are probably the gold mines in terms of Tolstoy.
Oof, yes.
My favorite thing about his writing is this constant inner motion that he has in his prose, because he'll be describing something. For example, Anna Karenina, we already talked about the character Levin, and he is a farmer, but he goes into the fields and works with his, like, workers on these, like, big cash crops. I don't know what they're sowing, but yes. They have this big scythe, right? And it's like a sickle scythe, and why would I care as someone who lives in the 21st century and is, you know, not affiliated whatsoever with Russian farming in the 19th century. But in fact, he has this kind of way of describing every moment in that scene that propels the narrative forward, even though presumably nothing is happening, right?
Yes!
The change is taking place so gradually that in page to page, you have no idea. Like, there's nothing really happening. But at the same time, he's able to develop his works over these long periods of time in a way that's so enervating. And you get done, like, with a session of reading, like an hour or two session, or even 10 minutes of a session, and you're like, how did that much change take place with that minute of a scene, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that is my favorite thing about his writing. All right, anything to add?
I mean, I agree. Like, his, like, turmoil in his characters is so, I think sometimes you don't get that, especially in other literature, like English literature, like people are like, I don't like this and I don't like it for a reason and I'm going to talk about why I don't like it for a long time and I'm never changing my mind. Ah!
Dickens.
Dickens in one very long Dickens-like sentence. Yeah. Best of times, worst of times. Anyway.
We're doing December Dickens, which is fine. So relevant.
It's fine. But, like, you know, his, like, a lot of English writers have, like, that, like, we don't change, versus, like, you look at Anna Karenina, and Anna herself is, like, I don't know how I feel about anything.
Anytime.
And like, you can, like,
and I mean, in some respects, his short stories as well, but I think that it's weird because his short stories don't have the liberty of space to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to move much quicker through short stories, which is why I think a lot of people in modern times prefer things by, like, Laurie Moore or Eudora Welty, where those short stories, it's more explicit, I think, than what Tolstoy is able to do in such a short amount of time.
Yes.
All right, question two. Can Tolstoy be said to be more of an escapist read than other authors because of how realistic or authentic his works are? What do you think about this?
Ooh.
Well, and again, like, how long do you think it takes to read a Tolstoy novel on average? Like, 10 to 12 hours?
I would say, like, it took me a summer, but I wasn't constantly reading through that summer.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I think it takes a season of time. And actually, I think it's important, at least with Tolstoy novels I found, that, like, you need to take some time to kind of absorb.
It took me longer to read 1Q84 than it did Anna Karenina. Mm-hmm. Granted, I think Tolstoy's writing is much better suited to a longer style than Murakami's writing.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Murakami is best in short doses. and that's why I'm interested. He has a new book out, Killing Commendatore. It's a tribute to The Great Gatsby.
That's a book in itself.
Yeah, exactly. Oofed. Yeah, and it's quite long. It's, I think, 600 pages, something like that.
I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, it came out on the 9th, so last Tuesday. It just depends on, again, like, the time period you're in for yourself. Like, if you read War and Peace at the wrong time, like, it's not gonna, it's gonna take you longer.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, yeah, so in terms of escapism, that, too, depends on the type of person you are. Like, do you read for escapism or not?
That's the thing. Like, I was, like, when looking at this question on the train, I was, like, you know, it's not as escapist as, like, some novels I've definitely read. I feel like it could be escapism in some parts of Tolstoy. Like, some parts of Tolstoy are definitely escapist. Once you get to the end of a Tolstoy short story, novel, anything, you're confronted with, like, a lot of reality. Right. A lot of something that applies to your life, probably. Or could be applied to your life. Like you said, you have to be at the right time, right place, but it will make you think.
Right.
Whether you're even there or not. So I think sometimes it can be escapist because he has a good storyline in general. Like, mm-hmm. let's just, like, totally out of, yeah, like, the truth. Objectively, yeah. like, it's a good storyline.
Yeah.
You have a lot of different characters, but each character has, like, a lot of growth and a lot yeah. of, like, interesting aspects to them.
Yeah, and there's something for in it for everyone. Like, you were talking yes. about this. Like, there's romance. There's history.
There's just good story. Like, yeah,
there's poetry. There's like... Okay, when I think of escapism, as in terms of, like, a working definition for escapism, yes. I think... I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening, but I think of my mother. Okay, let's just say that my mom, she has a very difficult job, and mm-hmm. she's a single parent, so it's
yeah,
there's okay. a lot, like, resting on this job. And so when she reads, she always reads, like, those romance novels. Yes. She'll just sit on the couch for, like, hours reading romance novels. And, like, the more power to her, I think that's a really great way, like, at right. the end of the day to wind down, but that's not reading for, like, benefit to your life, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's escapist reading.
No, I would definitely agree with that. I think...
Yeah, so I think it's yeah. maybe, like, activity versus passivity. Yeah, and so, like, when I read a Tolstoy novel, certainly sometimes I'll pick up a passage and read it just because I'm feeling in the mood and I want to, like, get out and, like, look at some Tolstoy.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly when I'm going, like, reading through an entire novel by him, I'll do it very actively. Like, this is yes. going to be direct benefit to my life.
Correct.
As opposed to, I just need to get rid of this hour or, like, I want to...
I just want to read. Yeah. yeah. I think, like, that's the benefit of Tolstoy, though, is that, like, you yeah. can just sit down and, like, read it for, like, some pleasure. Like, it's going to be great. It's going to be rewarding. You're reading something that is quality, but you're getting something from it a little bit. Yeah. But you don't have to, like, work super deeply, I think, to yeah. get something from Tolstoy.
Yeah.
At least in, like, the middle or beginning of his stuff. At the yeah. end, I think you do really yeah. have to be actively, like, thinking.
Yeah, because that's when it culminates, and it usually culminates yes. over the last 100 pages. So yes. you have to be...
I think, like, Dostoevsky... Like, you have to be, oh, man. Mm-hmm. You can't just pick up Dostoevsky and be like, I'm going to read right now, yeah. and it's going to be just enlightening. Like, definitely some chapters of Dostoevsky, but, like, I always think of Brothers K. There are some chapters that are, like, known chapters yeah, right, that are, like, deep, dark, really twisty, so much symbolism, and you're, yeah. like, you just... Like, I had to reread a couple of those chapters, like, yeah. while reading the book to get, like, everything I could out of that. I'm sure I didn't. Like, I'm yeah. sure I did not get everything.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's, like...
It's too much there.
There's...
In terms of Dostoevsky's writing, in episode 3, Literature's Most Beautiful Passages, like, obviously not all of Literature's Most Beautiful
Every single book ever.
I know, literally. I read a passage from Crime and Punishment where he's talking about how Raskolnikov is dressing and how he's, like, dressing so poor that even one accustomed to being on the streets would be ashamed to see
That's
him.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, and it's just, like, I analyzed it. I took it apart a little bit for y'all, but there's just so much there that I felt that there wasn't enough time in this world, you know? And also, the differences between translations are really interesting, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And what, like, I know, like, Richard PVR has the best... And his cohort, I forget what her name is, but they have the best translation of Anna Karenina, etc. But mm-hmm. there are definitely differences in, like, regionalism and all those things,
yes.
too.
I always wanted to be able to, like, learn Russian, read Tolstoy and Dostoevsky in the original Russian. I always say that about, like, French novelists as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, reading Voltaire in original French. Oofed.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
all
yeah.
I can say. I have to rely on those translations.
Question 3. Compare Tolstoy's works to those of other Russian classical writers. How does this writing hold up in terms of themes, descriptors, etc.? And I just listed a bunch of writers. Nabokov, Dostoevsky, Chekhov, right. Turgenev.
Chekhov has been one on my list to
yeah,
read.
Yeah, I have never read Chekhov. Have you read, like, Pale Fire or anything by Nabokov?
No, I haven't. Like, those are, like, the two on my list. Like, I've read the big yeah. Russian, and I've read a lot of their stuff. So it's, like, I do have a handle on Russian lit, but, like, I don't have, like, a handle on, like, the little...
Yeah, yeah, like,
smaller writers, which is just...
Yeah, and those are actually more contemporary, too, which
yeah,
is interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Not in terms of Nabokov, I've had some Nabokov books on my shelf for the longest time. I'm embarrassed to say that I have. Because they're 200 pages, you know?
Yeah, and, like, you know you can get through... You know you can get through them in, like, a week.
Yeah.
That's me.
A week tops.
A week tops. You're just like, I know I could get through this, but... I'm reading something else.
Yeah, like, okay, in terms of Nabokov, I think that none of these writers are as adherent to principle as Tolstoy is. And they were more focused on the poetry of writing and how to get as much possible into their 200 pages as opposed to drawing things out. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, Dostoevsky was a contemporary of Tolstoy, right?
Yes.
So that was the era where there were a lot of, like, revolutionist themes and a lot mm-hmm. of, you know, you had to get an agenda down, but you had a lot of time because the longer it was, the less likely people were going to root you out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, and Tolstoy's first work was published in newspapers mm-hmm. and was, like, you got a little snippet every week. You didn't just yeah. get a huge Tolstoy book and were like, here you go. Have fun. Have yeah, fun like, trying with this.
That's, like, turn of the screw. We did, this is October when we're recording this, sorry mm-hmm. people, but yeah, this past week's episode was on Turn of the Screw, and actually Turn of the Screw was written in installments as well,
yeah.
and so it was like, every week, like, you could just, like, read a bit of Turn of the Screw, and you didn't know what happened, because it's, like, so suspenseful and so impactful, yes. and yeah, that's just, it's so cool to think about, and James Joyce, too, with mm-hmm. his book mm-hmm. Dubliners, a lot of those were in newspapers.
Dickens did a lot of that.
Yeah, well. That, yeah, that too.
I think most of his books went that way, actually.
Yeah, and so, and the origins of those books are vastly different from the origins of Nabokov and Chekhov, because that newspaper kind of style wasn't readily available in the time.
I mean, I have read some later Russian stuff, I can't remember. Who by, because I feel like it was in high school, and yeah. it was, like, you know, yeah. like, a short story that people give you in, like, a nice printout, like, that you're, like, this. And you don't know how to flip the page right, yeah. and you're still confused, and,
yeah.
yeah, those. But, like, from what I have, like, read just a little bit, is, like, is that it is,
yeah,
it's, like, the same idea, different viewpoints, and the different mm-hmm. viewpoints are, like,
that's what makes the difference.
Approached so differently. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to question 4. So, should everyone legitimately read a book by Tolstoy?
Like I said, this is, like, a life goal of mine that all of my friends read Tolstoy, and none of them will. Like I said, it has something for everyone. Like, yeah. you get a lot of stuff. Like, if you're not into romance novels, cool. There's, like, a war going on. Exactly. There is violence. There is, like, that kind of stuff. For, like, anyone who's into history, Napoleon literally has words in it, and it's cool. There's, like, an assassination plot, just to, like, kind of, like, spoil some things. You don't know who. There's, like, family relations. There's crazy people. There's, like, sane people, kind of.
Yeah.
It's just, like, crazy. And it's yeah. so, so good.
It's so important.
They yeah. have shaped the person I am. They have, like, changed my idea on, like, a lot of, like, what the world is. I would say, like, my sophomore year is when I really started getting more into, like, how do I really feel politically, and how do I feel mm. personally on certain subjects, like, kind of pulling away, I think, in that 15, 16-year-old kind of yeah. time period where you do pull away from, like, your parents' beliefs or what everyone kind of tells you to believe.
Yeah.
And, like, these books were part of that
yeah.
shaping for myself personally.
And even if you read them in college, like, the older you are, of course, the more you'll be able to bring when you're reading mm-hmm. the books. But I think the younger you are, the more you have to gain from these books.
Yes. Yes.
In terms of, like, the more open you are to these ideas. And I think, like, regardless of your age, obviously, you should be very open to reading and anything that any book can give you.
Well, and I think you can learn something from it. At any age.
Yeah, exactly.
I really think you can. Like, Anna Karenina... Anna Karenina... I can't. Okay. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Okay.
Is, like, great, I think. Like, as a young person, like, reading it, it gave me, like, a real idea on, like, how do I feel on someone cheating? And how do I feel on this and this and this? Yeah. Versus, I think, as someone who's older, I think maybe they're like, well, I've seen this in my family, my friends, yeah. my personal life, maybe, or, you know, and you can kind of see it and, like, draw a comparison and relate to it. And I think the fact that we can relate to something that was written in, like, the 1860s, yeah. 70s is just kind of, like, wild. Like, human yeah. nature hasn't changed.
Exactly.
Like, obviously, we don't go to, like, balls and dancing and, like, we don't talk over operas anymore, actually, which is an unfortunate, sad thing, and could be, like, that's another discussion,
yeah.
another argument. But, like, you still get the same feelings, the same, mm-hmm. and I think that, like, that draws, like, our cultures together, because, like, history is a different culture. Like, mm-hmm. the past is a different culture, it's a different world, and the fact that we can bring those together, like, through reading, and especially, I think, Tolstoy, Dostoevsky kind of, I think Dostoevsky is just, like, on a totally different, like,
yeah.
what is morality?
Yeah.
What is well, all of this?
It has a lot to do with Freudian psychology as
yes.
well.
Oh my God,
yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of the diversity of the novel, there's so much that you can do with that in terms of outside work with the novel. Like, you can put any lens you want on it. Like, you could do feminism, like a gender lens, or like religion, or
religion's a real good one on that one too.
Yeah, or chaos versus sanity, and just or what is chaos versus sanity? Yeah, and you can dial it back to sort of these like very basic building blocks of reading, and that's such a good tool for you in your life to be able to say like, I have this passage from Anna Karenina, but how does that make it relevant for my life?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what this show is about. So,
what is relevance? Anyway.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you. I think that we should all read books by Tolstoy. Oh. If you had a first book by Tolstoy to read, what would you say? Would you dive into Anna Karenina or War and Peace?
You know, if you're, like, adventurous and, like, really, I think you can get into War and Peace. I say take it over a season. Don't push yourself to be like, I want to read it in 3 weeks. No, don't do that. Take it in time. Or read, like, something next to it as well, because I think sometimes it can be, like, a little too real.
That's true, yeah.
But I think it's totally worth it. Like, if you really feel like taking the dive into one of these, like, hefty books, like Anna Karenina or War and Peace, go for it. Live that life. Yeah. I, like, strongly agree with that.
Yeah, I think, actually, I would go into a bigger novel to start.
Yeah.
But with the caveat that, so, for example, right now I'm finishing Handmaid's Tale for a class for the third time in 2 months.
Wow.
And, yeah, which is a bit, we can talk about that later. And then I'm also reading Frankenstein for finishing up Horrifying Classics later this month.
Good times.
And I'm reading, I just finished An Absolutely Remarkable Thing, and I'm going to pick up Bridge of Clay by Marcus Susak. It just came out last week as well. So in terms of like the lengths and everything, I'm reading 2 short books and 1 longer book, and that's how I kind of make everything
work a little bit. Yeah,
work and like make a bit of stability and consistency in my life. Anna Karenina and 1Q84 are 2 of the longest books that I read in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I definitely had to get through some shorter novels while I was reading those.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think the pacing gets a bit old if you're only reading that. And you're like, I want to read, but I only am reading Anna Karenina, so what do you do? And even for people who their mind gets a bit chaotic when they're reading more than one book, I think that they should read this one book very slowly, and then one book or a few books
a little faster.
On the side. Yeah.
No, I'd agree with that. I think it just, like, depends on, like, the person you are with books.
Yeah, but giving it a try will not hurt. Even if you read a chapter of Anna Karenina, you're going to be changed forever.
Honestly.
All right, let's move on to related resources. So we talked about a lot of books. So to list a few that we've already said, if you're skipping ahead to this part, Crime and Punishment, Anna Karenina, War and Peace, What is Art?
Brothers Karamazov.
Anything by Nabokov, like Pale Fire, Chekhov, Turgenev.
I've heard Chekhov has some, like, really good plays.
There's a movie about Anna Karenina, it's by the same name, obviously, on Netflix, and is actually really revered for its use of color. So film geeks out there, if you want something, like, for example, Wes Anderson has the pastel color palette, and in Anna Karenina, everything is very, very saturated and very beautiful.
There are 2 War and Peace, like, filmy. So there's, like, a film that my my grandmother had to read War and Peace in college.
Oh, my God.
And she just watched the movie.
Ooh.
She got an A on that paper. Wow. And that's why I love her. But she did watch the movie, and it's in black and white. It's, like, an older movie. Heard it's, like, not exactly like the book. Now there's a mini-series about War and Peace, and it has, I think you can get it on Amazon. I believe you can get it on iTunes. I don't know. Like, I haven't personally watched either of them, and I kind of refuse to, because after reading the book, like, I have images in my mind of how, like, I see everything and how, certain interactions happened. And I kind of don't want that to be ruined, for myself.
Yeah.
But I've heard, like, my mom watched the miniseries.
All right, so weekly favorites, the best segment of the whole show right at the end. So something that has added value to your life over the last week. This is something that the minimalists do, the mustards do this. It is great. I posted on Twitter about this, right? About time. I've already talked about this. It is one of the only movies I've cried on, one of 2 I've ever cried on. And it's just such a beautiful portrait of life. And it is a rom-com, yes, but
Destroy the rom-com. Like, the rom-com is a good genre. It's like you laugh, you cry.
Yeah, I mean, I like 2 of my favorite movies of all time. I have a top 7 list right now, okay? And Annie Hall is on there, and about times on there. And I feel like it's unfair that Annie Hall has gotten, like, so many Oscars and everything, and About Time has barely scratched the surface of people's lives, because, like, just, like, everything is spot on in this movie. Like, the acting, and yes, maybe it's, like, not A-list actors, but, like, Domhnall Gleeson is in it, and who doesn't love Domhnall Gleeson, right? I think the big thing is that you learn how to be grateful for your life, and you learn how to be active and present. It's about someone who can time travel, and he uses his ability to time travel to make the circumstances right for him to meet the love of his life. Yeah, like, he meets her, and then he has to go back and change something else, and then he, like, has to go back in a different area of time to meet her again and, like, fall in love with her again. Yeah, and he uses his time travel, like, not really for personal reasons. Yeah. Like, he'll fix his best friend play performance, or he'll, like, go and make sure his sister doesn't get into a car accident. And then he ends up understanding that he doesn't need to go back in time to appreciate or to change things that he doesn't like about his life. Like, he can just live every day and appreciate it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's real good.
It's beautiful. It's, and that, just, like, the acting is so good. Everything is so good. And then I'd say my other weekly favorites are Frankenstein and An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. Frankenstein is just one of those books that you hear too much about before you actually read it. Like, the amount of stuff that Mary Shelley was able to do in that book, just in terms of, like, structure and in terms of language, isn't really incredible. And I regret that I wasn't able to read it before this, but I'm just, like, so happy that I'm reading it.
I might have to be tempted to read it, because I haven't read it either, because, like, you hear so much about it, and then you're like, well.
And it's so different than what you think, because, like, obviously one of the main differences is Frankenstein is the creator, not the monster.
Yes, yes.
And so there's this, like, weird, who's the real monster in this situation? And then An Absolutely Remarkable Thing, Hank Green, just got it in the mail. I had a signed copy because I just think that Hank Green is worth supporting. That's a personal opinion.
Yeah. Got me through and chemistry. Good. Let's just, that is how I, not even passed, like, survived.
Yeah,
didn't cry every day because of that man.
All right, weekly favorites.
Weekly favorite. Okay, well, I got to play in a masterclass yesterday for Todd Levy, who is the principal clarinetist in the Milwaukee Symphony, who's going to be actually faculty at our school, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that, like, when I first started clarinet, I, like, when I started, like, seriously, like, the first thing I played was Camille Saint-Saëns Sonata. Mm-hmm. And that has, like, a special spot in my heart. But the recordings I listened to were by Todd Levy. And so, like, a lot of, like, my sound kind of, like how I, like, view a clarinet sound and how I, like, take my personal, like, development is, like, due to him. And I got to play for him yesterday.
Oh,
got to play the
air. It's, like, coming full circle.
Yes, it was. Oh, it was a real moment. And it was, it was so good. It was a really fun time. And he's a really cool guy. Like,
awesome. No, right, well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed this discussion.
Yes,
all
this was
about
so
hosting.
Fun.
Hopefully, you can come back and we can do Anacrona.
Yes.
If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from me, consider checking out the last episode where I discussed The Great Gatsby with Morgan Wallace. Everything DH and I can be found at didianandhawthorne.blueberry.net, except blueberry is spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Now you can also follow the show on Twitter with @didianin. I'll be posting about new lit releases, reading lists, and of course the new projects and episodes relating to DH and I. Also, stay tuned for our next episode on Saturday, December 1st. It will be on how to read a novel by Charles Dickens as part of our December Dickens series. Still there? One more thing then. Remember that leaving a comment or review on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, or any other Guilty Pleasure podcast platform helps leverage the show so that other literature enthusiasts can find the community. In other words, it helps a ton. See you guys in 2 weeks.